Ray Lang back with us. He is the Vice President of State Supported Services. I like that title, for Amtrak. Hey, Ray, so Ray, give us, we got plenty of time here. Give us an update. I mean, the tourism here in Florida is just, I mean, Ray, do you remember the old days? Oh, it's all these Yankees coming down for 6 months. No, everybody's coming down. I don't know when it ever slows down. How is it? Give us a little updates. I mean, just generic. How is Amtrak, are they getting back to normal, considered what was pre-COVID out there? What are we seeing?
Well, good morning, guys. It's good to be here with you.
Hey.
And yes, absolutely. I think when I was last on the show a couple of years ago, we were kind of in the height of the pandemic, and we're not seeing tremendous volume on our trains. We really now, we're almost back to pre-COVID levels. And in fact, some of our routes around the country are exceeding pre-COVID ridership levels. So ridership and revenue is really come back strong. The demand is there, and we're filling seats.
Man. Hey, Ray, is it an educator's for, this is just some fun questions here before I get to the other real questions. Like the cruise lines, you know, the best advertisement is word of mouth. I mean, like the month of February down here in Florida, everybody, I mean, you didn't have to hear the advertisement. Everybody was talking about how the great deals were going on. Amtrak's numbers are picking up. Is it mostly been the word of mouth, or has it been some of the advertising or what?
I'll tell you, there's a unique thing going on. Pre-COVID, we saw a lot of business travel.
Right.
And that, and some commuters and some of our shorter trains, that business has really changed for us, and we're seeing much more leisure travel in the Amtrak system nationwide, which is really pretty remarkable, because I know that a lot of the commuter authorities around the country are seeing really soft demand as the workforce in the United States has changed. Our demand has really come back a lot stronger than theirs, and it is because, I think, as you just pointed out, it really is about the boom in leisure travel in the United States. And yeah, we have about 30% of our passengers are first-time passengers.
So oh, wow.
There's definitely something going on with word of mouth.
Hmm. Yeah, because I was going to ask how well it's been down. I think you probably just answered it, how great the services have been in Florida and the current service providing. And by the way, have you guys, like, has things been updated, like where services being provided in Florida?
There's, we have two daily trains between, you know, Miami and New York City, the Silver Service trains, which go through Orlando and Tampa as well.
Right.
And we have the auto train, which is just remarkable. I mean, the auto train between, you know, basically Washington, D.C. and Orlando has done extremely well. We've, you know, upgraded the equipment. We've put a lot of it through overhaul. The big thing for us is that we've ordered new equipment now with the new federal investment. We've ordered the Aero train sets, which are going to be coming here.
What is that?
Probably late 25, early 26.
Explain what that is.
It's got a cool name.
Aero train sets, yeah. Yeah. So we cut, you know, a pretty significant level, a record level, really, of federal investment in this mode of transportation, inner city passenger rail. We've placed an order with Siemens for these new Aero train sets, which will be in service really all over the country on some of our state-funded corridors that you referenced in my title, and some of our long-distance corridors, especially the ones here in Florida, the Silver Service train. So they'll have the Aero train sets coming in about 3.5-4 years from now.
How long does it take to get from Florida to D.C. on a train?
Florida to D.C.? That's probably about 20 hours.
Okay.
Overnight. And then they go all the way up to New York City.
Okay. But are there like stops included with that, Ray, or just nonstop?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's stops included.
Interesting. Man, everything's been big. Yeah,
they'll feed you on board. There's like a little restaurant and something you can sleep on. So you go to bed, wake up in D.C.
So there's federal money coming in through the infrastructure bill. Is it going to be able to cover enough for the needs that you guys have to expand Amtrak?
Sure, it's a five-year bill, so the funding comes over 5 years. There's over 5 years, $22 billion that comes directly to us, and then $44 billion that comes to a combination of Amtrak and the states. And it really is going to allow the states, you know, that we work with around the country to really develop short-distance corridors around the country. Just in Florida, it would be like Orlando to Miami, Orlando to Jacksonville, those kinds of corridors. So it'll have money for the states to do that. You know, everybody hopes that when the 5 years expires, the new transportation bill then will be reauthorized and refunded, and there'd be another level of infusion of capital to continue to develop these corridors. But you know, there's a lot of competition for it around the country. Every state really wants to develop this mode of transportation. We're doing everything we can to help them. the money coming directly to us is really going to transform Amtrak, and people are going to notice, you know, as I said, new trains, short-distance trains, long-distance trains, major upgrades at stations. There's a lot of good stuff happening, and we're really doing everything we can to get the money, you know, out the door and in the ground quick.
Ray Lang is the Vice President of State Supported Services for Amtrak. He's been on with us before. Ray, are there any – focus down here for a second. I mean, I understand if it goes to other states. What is the – because you always like to hear expansion. You know, cruise lines. We may open an expansion here or something there. It gets curious. It gets curiosity for people. They may want to check it out. Is Amtrak – I'm not saying as of tomorrow, but are they looking at expanding services – in Florida? I mean, we have big listenership in the South as well. Are they looking to expand other services? And, I mean, on the surface, what's being talked about?
Yeah, sure. Before the Investment and Infrastructure Jobs Act, the IIJA, before that was passed, we had been working in Washington, really pushing an agenda to have this kind of infusion. We laid out a vision for expansion of passenger rail service all over the United States. I mean, we knew that if we were going to be asking for lots and lots of money, we would have to show how we would serve it. And so we had a vision for developing corridor services all over the country called Amtrak Connects Us. And it had a number of the development of a number of new corridors in Florida. As you pointed out, huge population growth in the Sunshine State. And, you know, we really need to match that population growth if we're going to remain relevant in places like Florida and Texas. And so we laid out, you know, a very compelling vision for the development of new corridors all over Florida. They would all have to be, you know, state-led. The way the bill was really written is that states really have to be in the driver's seat and take the lead in developing those corridors. And so we'll be working with FDOT and any other partners, you know, in the state and then around the country in developing these short-term corridors.
Do you ever get, and I saw this what happened down in Brightline for years of the last decade. They didn't, you know, some people, oh, high-speed rail trains and all. To me, high-speed rail trains never bother me. It's like if I'm sitting at a light and there's an emergency service, is these flipping trains that go 20 miles an hour and you got to wait 15 minutes. It's somewhere over there, worry about high-speed rail, and there's been opposition. I don't hear, for some reason why, we don't see it, but I mean, when Amtrak comes to a city, it's considered to be like, hey, I mean, some people, I don't hear people complain about it. I mean, do you usually have to put up certain battles of people, or is there usually, you would think of Amtrak's coming in, people welcome it with open arms, it's jobs and things like that, or do you see, is there sometimes you get some people that sit back and go, no, we don't want it in our neck of the woods. Do you ever see that?
Almost always we have great local support really all over the country when we bring rail service to towns, almost always very few exceptions. I mean, we have tremendous support from the mayors of cities around the country. The U.S. Conference of Mayors has just been a great advocate for intercity passenger rail. And so we get, you know, to your point, we get everybody raising their arms, cheering, you know, thrilled when the first day the train comes to town.
All right, but I know it's still not an easy process with all the regulation you guys got to go through, but we totally understand.
Yeah.
Keep us updated. I mean, you know, like here locally, we broadcast out of Jacksonville, and of course, you know, with Mark, you know, Sanford's got one down there. I go down there often, and with Amtrak, and I was just kind of curious. We wanted to, and we do this as a lot of consumer benefits, so like, we like, hey, what's happening in Florida? What services that, like Amtrak or the cruise lines, and like the airline industry pre-COVID, now it's like, hey, we're trying to get full-blown back on board now, and no pun intended, so that's the reason why I wanted to get you guys on. Ray Lang, of course, he is the Vice President of State Supported Services for Amtrak. Ray, good to have you on.
Hey, it was great to be here. Thanks so much.
Take care, man.
Invite me back.
We'll do it, man.